Or Matt, where is John Lott? Let me bring John Lott in. John is here. Thank you, Phoenix. John, come on in. John is probably the leading expert on weapons and guns and all the stats off the top of his head. John, it's been a disturbing, really week with what just passed in Congress,
right?
With H.R. 8 and I think it's H.R. 1112. But this is just the beginning, isn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, these are just ways to make it very costly for law-abiding citizens to be able to own guns and to deny them. It's going to make people less safe. I mean, we're here in Washington, D.C. It costs $125 to privately transfer a gun in Washington, D.C. That may not stop you or I from being able to go and do it, but they're poor people, the very people that my research indicates benefit the most, who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, poor minorities who live in high crime urban areas. It may be great if the police were there all the time, but they're not. And if, and the system that they have, we keep on hearing this week that there have been 3.5 million dangerous prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. That's simply not true. What they should say is there have been 3.5 million initial denials, and that something around 99% of those are mistakes.
Wow.
And the thing is, it primarily hurts minorities.
So here's what I'm concerned about, because I think all of those are valid, but I think they're doing this, and at the same time, they're taking a backdoor by going in through the financial system and telling Citibank and others, don't do business with gun manufacturers or gun stores.
Right.
If they close down and say, you have to transfer at a gun store, and then make it impossible for gun stores to operate,
right?
How are you ever going to be able to obtain a gun, sell a gun, buy anything?
No, I mean, I agree. There's many faceted ways that they're trying to make it costly for people, particularly poor people, to be able to go and get guns to own. And it's also, I think, a step towards registration that they're going to be setting up where if, you know, right now the bills that they have say that they can't put together a registration list, but the dealers have to keep records of all the transfers as well as the sales that they make. 5 years or 6 years from now, if Democrats have control of Congress and the presidency, they could change the law that says all those records that you digitize, send into the federal government, and they have an instant national registration.
That is exactly what happened.
For law-abiding people, anyway.
That's what happened in the Weimar Republic.
Well, we've already seen California, New York, and Connecticut, and Chicago, places where they've used registration lists that they've already had in order to demand that people turn in guns that they had in those places. So it's, you know, I've come to the belief that they really don't want people to own guns. And you can see this in lots of ways.
Socialists never do. Venezuela lost their rights to a gun in 2012.
Right. And you can see what happened to crime rates afterwards. Yeah. And of course, now people aren't able to defend themselves against the government that's there. But I'll give you a couple examples. A few years ago, when Colorado was passing its background checks on private transfers, I got a call from some state legislators asking me what amendment I would put up. And my suggestion was to put up an amendment that would exempt people below the poverty level from having to pay the new state tax on transferring guns. You'd think that would be a no-brainer. But with the exception of two pro-gun Democrats in the state house, every other Democrat voted against exempting people below the poverty level from paying the new state tax. How many taxes can you think of where Democrats will fight tooth and nail against exempting people below the poverty level from having to pay?
None.
Look at the bill that they just passed. You have to do a background check on each gun that's transferred. Let's say I leave somebody 10 guns. Rather than just paying one $25 background check and do it all in one lump moment there, they make you have to spend 10 times that. You have to spend, like, if you're doing a transfer in D.C., you'd have to spend $1,250.
That's craziness.
What's the point of counting a separate background check on each gun? You're doing it on the individual.
Not the...
Right. And so, you know, it's just all these little things when you read through there that it's pretty clear that they're just trying to make it costly. Look,
do you think, John, the mask has come off of the progressives on socialism? You know, when I said socialism, you know, the people in the White House are socialists, I was called a racist. And I said at that time, there's going to come a time where they'll take the mask off and say, you're damn right I'm a socialist, because this doesn't work. Do you think we're close to the time when socialists now in the Democratic Party will stand up and say, you're damn right I'm trying to take your gun, because guns are dangerous and it won't work?
Right. Well, I mean, you go and you talk to these people and you say every law that they have makes it more costly. And there's like no end to the number of laws that they would be willing to push for this. And, you know, you have things like red flag laws that are getting passed. I don't know, it's like 14 states now that have these laws. It's kind of like the old movie Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie, where they're trying to predict whether somebody's going to commit a crime.
Yeah.
But they don't even list in many of these laws specific things. They just, it's kind of like the old definition of pornography. I'll know it when I see it. And so you can have a neighbor or a friend or a relative or somebody else go and lodge a complaint, and without any experts, without just simply on the basis of somebody feels that you might possibly be a danger, the judge can go and take away your guns for up to 21 days, depending upon the state. And all they have to do is meet what's called reasonable cause or probable cause, which reasonable cause is just a little bit more than a hunch that you would have it in terms of a standard. Or they could take away your gun for a year after a hearing. But it used to be that you'd have to have some experts in there.
Yes.
And now it's just kind of feelings that people have, whether or not I predict. And I was on a panel for uniform state laws. They were considering putting together a model law for this, and they'd have people who are running these laws in different states come in. And I was saying, well, so how do you predict whether somebody's going to go and commit a crime? And they'll say, well, we look at their past criminal history and say, well, you already have laws on that. If you're a felon, even if it's a nonviolent felon, you lose your right to have a gun. What they do is they don't want to have specific things. They want to say, well, if you're arrested but not convicted, or a complaint but not even arrest.
Yeah.
And they want to make it so you don't even have to have an adjudication that you were guilty of something before they can take away your guns.
John, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for everything you've done. You were instrumental in the book Control.
Well, it's because you're out there and you're able to get this type of information out to people that's so
important. And you
have
it all in your head.
Well, I just feel so frustrated because there's so many of these rules that I don't think even a lot of the congressmen that are voting on this understand the implications for these laws.
I agree. John, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You bet. We'll talk again. In fact, we've got to do another special on guns, and John will be the first that we'll need to invite. Okay.